We're going to continue our series that we started a couple of weeks ago in Mark's Gospel. If you want to turn to Mark chapter 1, and we're still there in chapter 1, as we said, busy gospel, a lot happens in it. We're going to read from verse 21 to verse 34. And if you're following in the Pew Bibles, you'll find it on page 1002. Mark's Gospel. I'm going to refer to a couple of other verses in the sermon, so we might just read them as well. But we're initially going to read 21 to 34, and then we're going to jump across to verse 40 and read a few verses there as well. So this is what Mark writes. They went to Capernaum, that's Jesus and some of the first disciples that he had called. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." And the evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "Who is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to the evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever and they told Jesus about her. So he went up to her, took her hand and helped her up. The fever left her and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. And then just to jump to verse 40, a couple of verses there. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. And we'll end our reading there and thank God for his word. So we began our sermon series on Mark's Gospel about 2 weeks ago. We've called the series Good News because that's what Mark's Gospel is all about. But then I highlighted, and I want to keep front and center throughout this sermon series, is that it's not enough just to say that these stories are good news, but to ask the question, why? Why do we say that the story of Jesus that Mark tells us is good news? On Thursday morning, we woke up to the good news that Donald Trump had backed down on his threat to apply tariffs on the UK and seven other European nations, and that some sort of deal had been struck with NATO over the situation with Greenland. But was it really good news, or was it just news that wasn't as bad as the news that we had heard the day before? Last time we said that there were at least three criteria that we use to measure whether something is good news or not. Is it for today? Is it news that's for today? Is it worth sharing with others? And can it be verified? Can we trust what we're hearing? I strongly feel that one thing the last 12 months have taught us is that that news about Greenland falls short on at least one of those criteria. But there is a fourth criteria, one that we haven't mentioned. And in light of what we're going to be thinking about today, it's an important one. It asks this, it says, if this is good news, if this is news for today, if this is news that is worth sharing, if this is news that can be trusted, who is it good news for? Let's take a look at the passage and see what we can draw from it. One commentator calls this passage a busy day in Galilee. And it certainly is because that's the nature of Mark's gospel. Always busy, always moving from one thing onto the next. There's a lot that is packed even into these 14 verses that we read. And what comes through boldly, loudly and clearly in this passage is Jesus' authority. In the first part of chapter 1 is all about who Jesus is, and Mark now shows us the authority that he has as the Son of God. The passage begins with Jesus and the first of his disciples, Simon and Andrew, James and John, going to Capernaum. And while they're in Capernaum, Jesus went to a synagogue and was allowed to stand and teach. And it's here in the synagogue that we start to see what authority looks like when it belongs to the Son of God. This is the question Mark wants us to notice as the story unfolds. What kind of authority does Jesus have? At first glance, Mark simply tells us that Jesus entered a synagogue on the Sabbath and taught. That might seem ordinary. Rabbis and teachers often spoke in synagogues. They were public places of worship, the center of Jewish life. Places where scripture was read, prayers were prayed, and rabbis taught. But in the local synagogue, there wasn't a permanent teacher. Instead, there was a custom called the freedom of the synagogue. Visiting teachers could be invited to read scripture and then talk about it. In other words, Jesus didn't just arrive and start teaching. He was permitted to speak. Someone amongst the synagogue leadership must have recognized that he had something to say. And so he was given the floor. And what he did with that opportunity amazed people. Mark doesn't tell us what he taught, but he does tell us their reaction. They were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not like the scribes. The scribes were the experts in the law, but their authority wasn't their own. Their knowledge was built on the shoulders of others. They quoted other teachers, they quoted tradition, they quoted interpretations that had been built up over generations. But Jesus didn't do that. He spoke as one who had authority, and the people were astonished. They'd never heard teaching like that before. They'd never heard anyone come and teach like that before. In Mark, this amazement that people have is a recurring theme. The word that he uses there, he uses it five times throughout his gospel, and every time it is talking about the way people react, that they're astonished, that they're amazed at something that Jesus has done or something that Jesus has taught. Why? Because the authority that they see in Jesus isn't authority that is borrowed from tradition or systems or reputation. It belongs to him. It is wrapped up in his identity. It is wrapped up in who he is as God the Son. But here's the question. Is his authority good news? Because authority by itself isn't always good news. Sometimes it can be very bad news. It depends on how it's used. Jesus doesn't just use his authority in what he says. He also uses his authority in what he does. Almost immediately, Mark shows us that his authority extends into the brokenness of this world. A man with an unclean spirit interrupts the teaching, and the spirit recognizes who Jesus is. Before anybody else does, the spirit recognizes who Jesus is. Now, sometimes we read these passages about demon-possessed people in the Bible, and we think, well, that maybe it's not demon possession, maybe it's just a mental illness or some neurological condition that they weren't aware of back then. And this might be true in some cases. The Bible does describe behavior that we might recognize that way today. But here the text is clear. This man is possessed by an unclean spirit who speaks to Jesus. In other words, he was under the influence of a spiritual reality, a force of evil that had taken hold of his life. This is the brokenness that Jesus came to confront. The evil that had taken control of this man is the same evil that has taken control of this world. And by confronting it directly, Jesus is showing us what he had earlier told us, that the kingdom of heaven has drawn near, that God's reign is breaking into this world. And when it does, it confronts evil and it restores what has been broken. Jesus doesn't argue with the spirit. He doesn't shout at it. He doesn't need dramatic gestures or some long ritual. He simply speaks, and the Spirit obeys. This is authority without effort and power without performance. For us to appreciate why the people were amazed at him, it helps to understand what they were used to. The Jewish historian Josephus describes the work of an ancient exorcist called Eliezer, who performed elaborate, often dramatic rituals to drive out evil. Very much like the chanting, the gestures, the struggle, the theatrical confrontation that we see in horror movies. That's the kind of showmanship that the people were used to, that they would have expected. But Jesus doesn't do any of that. Jesus doesn't need a spectacle. He speaks once and the Spirit obeys. That is his authority. And the people are stunned. What is this? Even the unclean spirits obey him. Remember that phrase, even the unclean spirits obey him. Because later on in the series, in a few weeks, Darren's going to preach on Jesus calming the storm. And the disciples will ask a similar question. Who is this that even the wind obeys him? It's that same reaction of awe, of wonder, and the dawning realization that Jesus' authority is not like anything that they've seen before. Authority over the natural and authority over the supernatural. But now, having told us how Jesus cast out an unclean spirit in the synagogue, this dramatic moment of interruption and confrontation, Mark now takes us into a house, into a home. The home of Simon's mother-in-law. And we find that she's sick with a fever. What type of fever, we don't know. Quite possibly something ordinary. The cold, the flu, something we hardly think twice about. This is a much more private moment. No crowd, no spectacle, a contrast to what has just happened in the synagogue. But it's a deliberate contrast. Because Mark wants us to see something about Jesus, about his authority, about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus goes and he takes her hand. The same authority that can silence a demon now expresses itself in the most tender of ways. The same power that has authority in the spiritual realm is also at work in the ordinary. Something as small and as ordinary as a fever. Mark tells us that Jesus lifted her up. He uses the word egero, the same word that Mark uses at the end of his gospel when he says he is risen. This is the language of the resurrection. This is language of triumph. This is language of life over death, of God over evil. In this quiet room, on this ordinary day, the kingdom of heaven is breaking in. And immediately it says that she gets up and she begins to serve them. This is not commentary on gender roles. This is not commentary on misogyny. What this is saying is this is healing and this is restoration. Jesus hasn't just restored her health. He has restored her to her place in the rhythms of ordinary living. The kingdom of heaven breaks into our ordinary lives. This is what Jesus' authority looks like. Not only in the dramatic, not only in the spectacular, but also in the ordinary and the everyday. And this is good news because it tells us that Jesus' authority and power is here for you and for me. In the ordinary moment, in the crises that come our way every day. And this echoes what we heard last week when we were thinking about walking in step with the Spirit. It means that we live in his power and his authority moment by moment, day by day. Whatever situation arises in our day, in our lives, God's authority speaks into that moment and is present there. Whatever our crisis looks like, God's authority is greater. And it's not distant, it's not theoretical, it's not just words on an ancient document. It is present and it is available to each of us. But the healing doesn't stop with Simon's mother-in-law. That evening, once the sun had set, the people begin to come. They had waited for the Sabbath to end because on the Sabbath, travel was restricted. But as soon as it was over, the whole town gathered at the door. Not because they had seen what Jesus had done. Most of what Jesus had been done in an enclosed space of a local synagogue or in a private home. All they had really was that one public moment in a synagogue, but what they have, more importantly, is something called word of mouth. They had heard about Jesus, and for them that was enough. News had spread And it spread quickly. In Mark's gospel, just a matter of four verses, from Jesus doing one thing in a synagogue to the whole village gathering at his door. The news spread quickly because it was news worth sharing. That was one of the criteria for news being good news. They had heard that something different was happening. They had heard that someone different had appeared who spoke and acted with the kind of authority that they had never seen before. And when people heard, they came. People who knew that they needed something in their lives, that they needed something different in their lives. And now when they heard about Jesus, they understood that it was him. That was who they needed in their lives. And so they came. And that's how good news works. It has to be shared. It has to be heard. And for people to hear, someone needs to speak. There are so many people in this world, so many people in our world, that need to hear about Jesus, that need to have Jesus in their lives. And in order for them to hear about him, we need to tell them. So talk about Jesus. Talk about what you've seen. Talk about what you've heard. Because he is good news. And his authority is good news. But that still leaves us with one final question. If his authority is good news, who is it good news for? Because authority on its own is not always good news. We know that. We live in a world where power and authority are often used to bully rather than to serve, to intimidate, to exclude, to control. The news this weekend just speaks so loudly of that. Authority can bring fear rather than hope. And to answer that, Mark takes us then to somebody who is not just sick, not just suffering, but somebody who is completely pushed to the margins. In verse 40, Mark tells us about a man with leprosy who came to Jesus. Up to that point, the people that we've encountered who have benefited from Jesus' authority are the people in the local synagogue who heard his teaching. A man who was there with an unclean spirit, a sick woman in a private home, and the crowds of sick and demon-possessed people who came to him, who were able to be part of that crowd. They weren't necessarily powerful people. They weren't necessarily the decision makers. We don't know much about exactly who they were, but they were still able to be part of the synagogue. They were still able to be part of the crowd that came into the center of town. But they probably weren't people who necessarily benefited when authority is exercised. And so to drive this point home, a few verses later, Mark brings this leper into the story. And he comes and he kneels in front of Jesus and says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." What he's asking Jesus goes beyond just healing. He wants to be restored to his place in society, to be accepted and included, to be touched. And that's what Jesus does. It says that Jesus touched him and then he was healed, which means that Jesus touched him before he was healed. Now that might seem obvious, but it is massive. People were afraid of leprosy, and they were afraid of people who had leprosy. Leprosy is contagious, but not by simple touch. If someone touched a leper, they wouldn't become sick, but they would become unclean. And unclean meant exclusion. It meant separation. It meant being pushed to the margins. The boundaries around this man weren't only medical. They were societal boundaries. They marked him as unclean, excluded, and pushed to the margins. So when Jesus touches him, he's doing something quite extraordinary. Society says, "Don't touch this man." But Jesus wouldn't let society have the final word. Jesus knew that his authority was greater than society's authority. And so he reaches out and he touches him. And then rather than the leper making Jesus unclean because Jesus has touched him, Jesus makes the leper clean because he has touched him. His greater authority moves towards this man who had been excluded, marginalized, and isolated. That is what Jesus' authority looks like. Authority that doesn't withdraw to protect itself. Authority that doesn't bully or exclude people, but that moves towards the broken, the isolated, and the marginalized in order to restore them. This is who Jesus' authority is good news for. Not the powerful, not the influential, but those on the margins, the ones who are overlooked, the ones who are excluded, the ones that society has written off. So let's pull this all together. Jesus' authority is over evil. Jesus has authority over sickness. And when he exercises his authority, it is for the ignored, the marginalized, the overlooked. This is not authority that pushes people away, but authority that moves towards them. It doesn't bully, it doesn't exclude, but it reaches out and touches the lives of those who need it. In Mark's gospel, Jesus' authority is not about control or power for its own sake. It is about restoration. And that is good news for all of us today, because Jesus' authority hasn't changed. He still has authority over the brokenness of this world, the fears, the sickness, and the societies that keep people apart or in the margins. And he still directs that authority towards people like you and me, people who feel held back by circumstances that are beyond our control, who sometimes feel overlooked by society, by their community, by their work, their school, by their families, even their church. Jesus' authority isn't distant. It walks on the waters of our fears. It speaks into the storms of our lives. It stands beside us in the fires that we face. It carries our healing, restores the overlooked, and it brings life where there is darkness. The kingdom of heaven has come near. And the same power that calmed the unclean spirit, that healed the sick and restored the excluded, is still at work in our lives today. There is no obstacle that it cannot overcome, no burden that's too heavy for it to carry. Jesus' authority is for you and it's for me. It moves towards us to restore us, to heal us, and to bring life where there is brokenness. But let's not forget that this is not just good news for you and me. It is good news for the world. Because as people who have the Spirit of God living in us, that same authority that moves towards us moves from us too. It moves through us into a broken world when we move out of the comfort of our homes and our church buildings into a broken world, towards the isolated, towards the marginalized, towards the people who society pushes away, who says, we don't want you to be part of this. We don't want you here. We don't want you to be too close to us. Not because you're going to make us sick, but because you're going to make us unclean. Church, we cannot be a church like that. That is not the church that God called us to be. To be people who push people away, but rather people who draw close to them to restore them. Good news is meant to be shared. So share it. We've heard today that it's good news, but it's not to stay in this building. It's to be taken out into the world, to be shared with the people who need to hear it. So tell people about it in your workplace, in your schools, in your neighborhoods, in other neighborhoods that are not your own, because our neighborhoods are nice and clean and tidy and acceptable. We don't go to the other places. No, go to the other places. Go to the places you wouldn't think that you would normally go. And take the good news, share it, tell people about it, show people what it looks like. There is so much opportunity through the work that the mission and outreach team in this church do. Be a part of that team. Go with Janice and her team into the neighborhoods around you. Go knock on the doors and share with people the good news. Volunteer and be a part of Bob's store. Come to the hub on a Thursday if you're here and speak with people. Call people, invite people to come to Alpha, to Cafe Explore. There are so many opportunities in the life of this church for the good news to be spread to the people who need to hear that there is good news for them. Let's not keep it to ourselves. Let's be the followers of Jesus. that we've been called to be. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the good news that we hear, that Jesus Christ has authority over the brokenness of this world, the brokenness of this world that weighs us down, the brokenness of this world that makes our life hard, the brokenness of this world that doesn't wait outside our doors of our homes but comes right in, an uninvited guest. But Jesus has authority that is greater than that. And so we thank you for that. That is good news. And it's good news, so it needs to be shared. Lord, give us the courage to share it. Let us overcome any barrier that we have put up ourselves. It says, I can't do that. That's somebody else's role. That's not my gift. No, this is not about gifts. We are called to go and make disciples. That is not a gift. That is a responsibility. And so, God, we pray that we will step into that responsibility of saying we celebrate the good news of Jesus, but we also share it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.